This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Guilty. My sister Veronica and I had this double act, and my husband Charlie traveled around with us. Now, for the last number in our act, we did these 20 acrobatic tricks in a row. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, splits, spread eagles, backflips, flip-flops, one right after the other. So this one night before the show, we're down at the Hotel Cicero. The three of us boozing, having a few laughs. And we run out of ice, so I go out to get some. I come back, open the door, and there's Veronica and Charlie doing number 17, the spread eagle. Well, I was in such a state of shock, I completely blacked out. I can't remember a thing. It wasn't until later, when I was washing the blood off my hands, I even knew they were dead.
They had it coming.
It's more than I could possibly say. He was a real artistic guy. Sensitive. A painter. But he was always trying to find himself. He'd go out every night looking for himself, and on the way, he found Ruth, Gladys, Rosemary, and Irving. I guess you could say we broke up because of artistic differences. He saw himself as alive, and I saw him dead.
The dirty bum, bum, bum.
Good afternoon and welcome to season 2 of Speak Easy, the show that speaks easy about poetry. I'm your host, Sheena Bahardin. Also in the studio is my producer, Tina Carmelia.
Hi.
Hi,
this
Tina.
Is an unfamiliar voice.
It is, isn't it? Unknown in uncharted territory. Now, kicking off this season is going to be a discussion on poetry and the cabaret. There are many versions of cabaret, but what they all have in common are several unspoken rules. The performer performs in a small room at close range, in a casual atmosphere where the topics and presentations are often subversive, rebellious, naughty, and most importantly, entertaining. Cabaret also has its origins in the art of vaudeville, a theatrical genre of entertainment made up of a series of separate acts including magicians, clowns, singers, and dancers, all grouped together on a common bill. We just listened to Cell Block Tango from the acclaimed Broadway musical Chicago. Now, this is a classic example of what cabaret is, which is a combination of the narrative or storytelling and the element of spectacle. But how does poetry position itself within the idea of cabaret? Joining us in the studio today to talk about this topic is Emily Thomas and Elaine Foster. But first, let's start with Emily Thomas. Hi, Emily.
Hi, Sheena. It's so good to be here.
Great. Now, going by the stage name of Bubbles, Emily has been a practicing and a working clown for the past decade. For her, clowning around has been the most insightful journey in connecting and inspiring people, and one that has spurred her to push her boundaries within the aim of making an unconventional impact in people's lives. She is also an outbound trainer and is currently teaching speech and drama for kids under the banner of PCKL. Now, I think this is the first time ever we have a clown as a guest in Speakeasy.
Yeah. I know, right?
How are you feeling, Emily?
I'm feeling very at home, actually. I feel like this is where I belong. This is where clowns belong.
You're very much welcomed.
Thank you for having me.
Now, I have always wondered, because of your own experience as a clown, how does clowning find its place within spoken word poetry? Because you are also a spoken word poet.
That's the beautiful thing about clowns, you know. When you go to a show or you see a clown on stage, you know, they're up there, they're entertaining. And a good chunk of what clowns do is performing. Mm-hmm. So although that clowning is very technical, because we have magic, we have balloon sculpting, we do games, everything is very curated, yeah? That show that you watch a clown on stage do is very curated, very prepared. However, it is all a performance.
Right.
It's a performance that engages with the audience. And that's where I see the link between clowning and poetry. Now, clowning is like a poetry in motion.
Right. Now, how did you find yourself surrounded by spoken word poets? How did it all begin?
Oh, it's a really interesting story. Although I became a clown, and ever since I was a little kid, like everybody else, I had a little diary tucked under my pillow where I wrote my poems, especially when you're in your teenage years. There's a lot of angst and a lot of emotions that we were going through, and I was very interested in the language, and I think I got bitten by the bug when I read Chaucer's Canterbury Tales.
Right.
And I've always was looking for a platform to take my passion and what I like to do. And then one day, so this is an interesting story. So one day, I walked past the bee.
Okay.
I think it's no longer there. We were there the other day.
This is the one in Jayawan?
The one in Jayawan, where I think Jayawan is no longer anymore. Right? So this was a couple of years ago, I think about four years ago, and I saw Elaine Foster performing. I walked past and I saw, and I was like, whoa, here's somebody who's doing poetry? Mm-hmm. Like, I had not known anything about the scene back then. And I just walked in, ordered myself a drink and sat down and had an amazing time. And I loved it because the content, I felt really connected to the content, and I thought there was quality, and it was really a breath of fresh air. And one thing led to another. I was invited to go to the Bee for The Big Fish, mm-hmm. thanks to my friend Tina, who actually encouraged me.
Oh, that's me.
That's you.
Yeah, funny story. She suggested that she would be a human puppet.
I have no recollection of this. I know you keep bringing it up, but absolutely no recollection
of this. So if you don't know, The Big Fish is a storytelling event that was hosted by Elaine Foster.
That's right.
Yeah, for several years.
And thank you, Tina, and thank you, Elaine. I am now sitting here.
Right, and now from then, because the reason why we brought you in, because we want to know, because you yourself, you were part of the tongue-tied ensemble.
That's right.
Organized and produced and staged by Poetry Cafe KL. Mm-hmm. And was it difficult for you? Was it a challenging experience?
Well, for me, it was the first time on a theatrical stage. Mm-hmm. Right? For me, it was the first time working with an ensemble of poets. For me, it was a first time trying to bring what was in my head out there. Right? So yes, it was really difficult. I remember that rehearsals were tough on me. It was the first time that I had to memorize a piece. I've never, ever had to memorize anything for performance. I mean, back then in school, yes, that was a different story. Mm-hmm. And long pieces and to put it together in an ensemble. So I was struggling to find where I fit in all this. And, you know, I was struggling to bring in my identity. And I felt a little bit overwhelmed because I was, you know, performing with the giants in the scene. Thankfully, for all the support and all the everything that came together eventually, I think on that 5 seconds before my piece came on,
right,
I found it.
That's great. Played a character.
Yes,
and the character is Rumpelstiltskin.
Exactly. And I was also the ringmaster of the entire show. That's
right. And I assume that your background in clowning has definitely helped you to bring that persona on stage.
That was true, because in the beginning, the truth is I did not find the connection between clowning and poetry. In the beginning, I thought that clowning is separate and poetry is separate, and I've always kept two separate lives. However, I managed to find the bridge that gapped it, and it just magically manifested, and I was like, okay.
Right. And this is going to be a great platform to actually bring back some of that magic, because you have brought with you the poem
that
you wrote and performed for Tongue Tied 2.
Yes, that's right. That's
right. Please share it with us.
From Tongue Tied. Okay. Well, I'm coming from the background of a clown, and I see through the eyes of a misfit, of someone who doesn't fit in, and I also see how everybody else literally is a misfit in their own way.
Okay.
So here goes. He. As I was walking by happy as a lark, I chanced upon a man of, instead of talk, did bark. His head was on backwards, his hands were feet. A most peculiar man for one to meet. How strange a sight to myself, I did thought. He must be suffering to not be normal. And I pitied him with all the goodness I felt in me. Normal, I lamented. He really ought. But then he turned and smiled, and our eyes did cross. A brief glimpse into his soul did I see. A happiness, such happiness, he took hold. The very happiness which has eluded me. For he was who he was, all he could be. The end. Okay, so I'll move into the next poem, which is what my piece was in Tongue Tied, as Rumpelstiltskin. Here goes. I, too, was a child. I had dreams of happy, dreams of joy. I was a little bit short and not so pleasing to the eye. And I had my happy taken away from me. Too soft to fight back, too obliging to be unkind. You see, I thought I would be good until the day I die. I felt my very soul being ripped out from within the sinewy flesh that bound me. I had never felt so much pain, so much empty. And as I lay there, crumpled in my abyss, all my fairy dust sucked out of me. You see, they took what I loved the most away from me. And then they just left me there, empty to be. And this is how I have come to be. I have taken all the pain in me, and I have hid it in the deepest, darkest corners, far, far away from where the eyes can see. And within this pain, I grew as strong as I can be. I found magic in the monsters that lie within me.
Thank you, Emily. Now, coming up after this, I am bringing in Elaine Foster to talk more on poetry and the cabaret. You are listening to Speak Easy on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Social construct and appropriation of ancient Roman culture, am I right? I nod and pop a grape into my mouth. I know, right? So lame. His name is Julius Caesar. And in the coming weeks, he tries hard to impress me. He uses Tupperware, not Polystrid. His coffee came in glass mason jars. And he wove his passion and my heart into Egyptian cotton to cover the bed and share it. I rest my mind on his marble chest and dream of saving trees and writing peace treaties, spanning oceans and lifetimes, while he went to sleep. Because he had the knowledge that he was a couple of elections and handshakes away from ruling the country. I would never marry a politician. And he liked me, and like me, he wanted change. He'd say, Sayang, use me, and engrave in me testaments of equality. Aid those that need you. Save more than the deserts we were born into. We were the original power scuffle. Forget Beyonce and Jay-Z. But would I marry someone in presidency? His first lady. I have his olive branch. Because see, even under President Caesar's official robes, still resided my Marxist revolutionary JC, who made mixtapes in the basement and tied herself to oak trees. My college love, used his fists only to eat banana leaf and would never harm a snail. But my husband had a different agenda.
Welcome back to Speak Easy. I am Sheena Bahardin, and also in the studio is my beautiful producer, Tina Carmelia. We have been talking to Emily Thomas about her experience bridging clowning and the spoken word poetry. I am now going to bring in Elaine Foster. Now, Elaine is a performance poet and poetry educator. She has worked with various arts education organizations in Malaysia and Singapore, using poetry and drama to teach English for social development and for public speaking for the last 8 years. She also facilitates issue-based workshops using applied drama techniques, spoken word poetry, and storytelling. Now, if you don't know, Elaine is the founder of a poetry collective here in Malaysia called Poetry Cafe KL and the School of Poetry, which hosts poetry events including the annual Malaysian National Youth Poetry Slam and the now-defunct storytelling event, The Big Fish. Elaine, and most importantly, she was the host of season one of Speak Easy, a monthly poetry show on BFM. We all know that show,
yes,
right?
Yes, we do.
Yes. Now, welcome to the show, Elaine Foster.
Thanks. Hi, Sheena. Hi, Tina.
How's
Tina
it feeling like being on Tina the guest seat?
It really is so much more relaxing.
Really?
Yeah, you look, I can just like tune out.
A bit
out.
Stressed.
I've been, I'm stressing out because I haven't finished my writing.
I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, it's terrible. Hi, Sheena, how are you feeling?
Feeling good.
Emily,
feeling
how are you feeling?
I'm relaxed as I can be.
Now, Elaine Foster.
Yes.
What you have brought into the local poetry scene, from my point of view, is the idea of collaboration, or more specifically, the ensemble show. Now, how has it been so far in the last 8 years?
You know, it's kind of funny using the word ensemble. Like, I used it. It's a very theater-based term. And then I, like, Googled it, and it didn't really mean what I thought it meant. You see? Ensemble. It's French, you know, it's very, you know, it's posh. I'm sure Soonhing would probably come in here and be like, no, you got it all wrong. But the idea of together, working together. As a poet, it's a solitary thing to do, to sit and write on your own and come up with ideas. And I have never been that kind of person. Mm-hmm. I've always worked with other people. Or I guess to phrase it more, I get inspired by other people's ideas. Or at least I can use them as a sounding board. You know, like sometimes when you're just like talking to yourself, nothing really comes out. But if you were sharing it with someone, even though they don't say anything, it comes back at you. Oh, yeah, that's a great idea. Well, let's do that. Let's do that. And they'll just be like, I didn't say anything, you know?
Wasn't that how you conceptualized Speak Easy?
I think so. Exactly. It was thinking out loud with yourself. You know, it was like, oh, it's a great idea. We should do this. Or how do we do that? Wait, Tina, what would you... Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but the thing is that when it comes to poetry, there's always this, well, I would call it a misconception that it is a solitary practice, right? And yet, over the 10 years or so of the spoken word poetry scene in Kuala Lumpur specifically, there are now, thanks to Poetry Cafe KL, there are now more efforts to somehow bridge between the page and then moving it onto the stage and then working together as a team.
I mean, like, so on the one hand, I think that's naturally how I prefer to work. I don't like being on my own. And then secondly, over the years, I'd seen a lot of what I would call stage poetry shows, theater poetry, spoken word theater, working with groups of poets. The first one, funnily enough, Sheena, was Deaf Poetry Jam, live in the Edinburgh Fringe. That is the first time I ever saw a group of poets stand together on stage. And they basically did what we did for She Walks Like a Free Country, which is what we did when we brought it to Singapore. It was a group of people who were speaking out monologues or solo pieces. They weren't connected in any way except they were about identity or they were just about a certain theme. But they didn't talk to each other. And then years later, I think I saw another show where the ensemble, the group of poets, interacted and said things together. Like they were synchronized. They had there would be bits of words that they would say together. Then they would have their solo bits. And then they included movement. And I actually think that was a show that I saw at Project... What was Priya's poetry event?
Project OMG.
Yes. They brought in a group. I think it was through the British Council. And I was like, that's what I want to do. And the more and more I got into slam and more YouTube people were uploading videos of what was happening at slam, especially kids slam, more group stuff was happening. So that's what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And that's why I decided to write or devise She Walks Like a Free Country and then eventually Pontianak, because I could see how Pontianak, how you could take the group performance further, which is to have a narrative that we could speak to each other in dialogue.
Right. And I agree with that. However, when it comes to Tongue Tied, I do see influences of the vaudeville in a sense that it's a variety show.
Yeah, I mean, I love the cabaret, and because I never wanted to be just a poet. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be a performer.
Yes.
And I can't say that I'm very skillful at much else. But I think at least cabaret, you could pretend. You could pretend like it's like doing kid shows, right, Emily? Like the kids, like you play one chord on the guitar and everyone goes nuts. You know, it's like, woo, like the G song. And I wanted to devise this kind of clown character of myself where I got to show off the non-talents that I had, be it music, one chord on the guitar, a song I could barely keep a tune to, you know, some poetry and some movement that I really wasn't that good at. It was very much experimental. Tongue Tie was very experimental. I just wanted to try not standing in front of the mic and reading out words. Yeah.
Right.
Obviously, I discovered that I wasn't very good at any of those things. I stuck to poetry.
But the beautiful thing about Tongue Tied or poetry cabaret is that you cannot do it alone.
Yeah.
You have to have
You had to collaborate with the other. I mean, you can. Like, you can be a one-man band, which I wasn't, so I had to invite musicians to play against me or with me or to work with me.
Yeah, and it was interesting because all three of us were part of Tongue Tied, and then you have seen Tongue Tied, Tina?
I did.
Right, and everybody had no expectations, in the sense that they don't know what to expect.
Yeah.
And suddenly you have all of this incredibly colorful characters on stage just having fun, which is an idea, again, a concept that people tend not to connect poetry and fun.
And I think the poets themselves really, like I was telling you a couple weeks ago about the first time I took you to Singapore and how you and Melissa Rani look so out of place in the theater.
Right, yeah.
I mean, I have a background in theater from high school, but I still knew what stage left, stage right was and all these words, like reset and the director shouting directions at you. And those two, Tina, they were standing in the corner like, we don't know what the hell is happening.
Exactly.
And I was like, it surprised me, but at the same time, I was like, this is exactly what I want them to do. I want them to know what it's like to be the difference between doing an open mic and creating a theater performance.
Right.
And which, if you know theater and you know theater people, if you ever worked in the theater, it is a massive collaborative process. You all have to be tight. You have to work together. Mm-hmm. You have to trust each other. You have to respect each other.
Right.
You have to rely on each other. Like, these are things that you learn in the theater in this very kind of disciplined practice, which poets don't have.
Correct.
Poets, my experience, poets came in and like, hey, it's me, do my stuff, and then leave. And for me, that sucks out the energy. I have to say that was one of the, something that I had, was a challenge working with poets at first,
right,
was getting them into the idea or in the frame of mind that we were in it together.
Right. And another thing, another element of the cabaret is the idea of subversion.
Yeah. And I love that kind of stuff too.
Right?
Yes.
And for the spoken word poetry in Malaysia at a time before the elections, and now we have a new government and all that, there's a lot of censorship, not only self-censorship, but the censorship that you have around you. And yet the minute when you insert the element of fun and humor...
Like, you allow it.
You allow
it. You've allowed it. You could, this is the space, the one time you can actually say what you want to say, and you can dress up. And in that case, of course, the dress up and the costume is another level of, not hiding, but defense. It's like, that wasn't me, which is why we come up with names and characters.
Yes.
You come up with personas. In the original Tongue Tied, my character was Electra Shiok. Mm-hmm. Which is this ridiculous feminist?
I love the name.
I love
the feminist Freud's ultimate villain. You know, the woman who was a man hater, and I got to dress up as a dude, which is classic cabaret Chicago style, with a top hat, pretend that I could dance in a chair, but I can't. You know, and pretended to strip and those kinds of things, which I have never would have done on a spoken word stage, let alone in a theater space, because cabaret allows you that. Yeah. Allows you the space to subvert, to be dangerous, to take a risk, to make fun of yourself.
Right.
And no one can argue because that's the rule of the place. That's the rule of the space.
Right. And then I want to ask both of you, the thing is that, like, right after Tongue Tied, like, I personally assume that people are going to pick up on it and continue.
It didn't quite work that way.
Pushing the rules, but that did not work out.
Yeah, we tried with the open mic, right?
Yes.
And it didn't quite work out. I don't think, as Emily knows, as a performer, you have to come up with ideas, practice it, rehearse it, develop it. And again, poets don't do that. They show up with written work and be like, I just wrote this 5 minutes ago. And you're supposed to applaud them. Whereas a performer devises, writes, rehearses, gets it better.
That's right.
And it involves music, characterization, expressions, movement. And I think that's why people don't do it, because it takes too much work.
It also does take a lot of trust, working together with a group of people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And your vulnerability comes out as well.
It's a huge risk to try something new and to try something new and different. Everyone's afraid of doing of being different than they think they are.
Right, but that's the idea of the cabaret, and that's even the idea of poetry itself.
Yeah,
correct.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
about being out of your comfort zone and pushing it. Yeah? So for Tongue Tied 2, what was the character that you played, Elaine Foster?
So the character I played was a character called Ambivalence, which is a parody of Maleficent.
Right.
Which Maleficent is also a parody of the evil stepmother.
Okay.
So my character, by extension, is a version of the evil stepmother.
And I believe that's one of your stronger pieces.
Do you think so?
The strongest pieces
we
that
cried.
You have written. And a lot of people were crying in the audience. Yeah. You know?
But I was kind of, I was a little bit annoyed at myself because it was just so me. And it wasn't a piece that brought me out of my boundaries in the way I wanted to. Personally, yes, it was very excavating. It was very opening up. But I'd rather have been Emily's character and dressed up as Rumpelstiltskin and run around the stage and done cartwheels, you know?
You can do that in the UK.
I can do
in
that.
In London, right?
It's amazing that the opportunity I gave myself and I still didn't.
Okay. Well, you brought the poem with you today to the studio. Yes.
Yes, it's long, so maybe just a snippet.
Okay, all right.
Poem's called Mirrors. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the evilest woman of them all? Mirrors. I'm always talking to mirrors. Sometimes they talk back. Call me vain, but mirrors can reveal a lot. Like most women, I spend a lot of time standing in front of them. And while vanity comes in many shapes and sizes, it is certainly not just the folly of women. Like every woman I know, I have spent my life trapped in a house of mirrors, warping and obscuring my face and body, tricking me by the multiple images being projected onto me as if my body were a movie screen or a cheap soap box advertisement on a billboard or TV. And this is where things get a little tricky. They say how you see people is a mere reflection of yourself. Can you see how this mirror's image is an exaggerated monstrosity, a reflection of society? This is what happens when mirrors reflect mirrors in infinity. It's funny how we see only what we want to see, even though the truth is very often staring at you in the face. Is this why they call it the ugly truth? Look at me. What do you see? Look at me. Closer. Closer. Do you see me? Let me tell you a story.
All right. Thank you, Elaine Foster. Now, well, basically for the past almost 45 minutes, we've been talking about poetry and the cabaret, and we've talked about the importance of the ensemble piece, of collaborating and also pushing the boundaries of poetry or spoken word poetry in Malaysia. Now, how do we get in touch with the both of you, Emily?
Well, I'm currently collaborating with PCKL. So, yeah, you can contact me at PCKL. My alter ego, Bubbles, I'm on Facebook as Carnival Sweet.
Okay.
Not S-W-E, but Sweet, S-U-I-T.
Right. And will you be performing anytime in the future?
Yes, we have an upcoming open mic gig, right?
That's right, on the 16th of August.
August.
Okay. Which is kind of like
Elaine's going
a Baru. It's called Baru Malaysia. We did, me and Sheena did discuss the nuance between Baru and Baharu and whether or not we should use it at the beginning or the end. I thought it was kind of a pun. I don't know if anyone's going to get it. You know, like waking up kind of thing as opposed to new. That's the idea of Baru Malaysia. And it's going to be at MCCHR's office in the Pantai Business Center. 16th of August, a Thursday night.
That's right.
Okay, all right. Now, there is one last thing that you both have to do, which is to read out a poem based on a prompt that was given earlier to the both of you early today. And I am so excited about this because Elaine Foster has never had the opportunity to do
it's
a writing
It's not like
prompt.
I've never had to write on an impromptu
air.
Poem in the work that I do, but honestly, I'm going to apologize for my work.
I haven't
finished mine.
Now, Tina, what is the prompt?
When's Tina going to do hers? Let's focus on Tina. Tina, when are
Shut
you going to do
Elaine.
Your writing prompt?
Let me give you your prompt.
I mean, all these weeks, finally, you should be able to write your own, I think.
I have written a couple, actually.
Have you? Have you shared them?
Yeah, after this, we have to put you on the spot as well.
That's what I mean.
Jang, jang, jang.
All right.
And here's the prompt. 7 days, 7 lines. Write a poem where each line is about each day of the week.
After the break, we're going to put those two poets in the hot seat. This is Speakeasy, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Speakeasy. My name is Sheena Bahardin. Also in the studio is my producer, Tina Carmelia.
I've never heard Tina be called, what did you say, pretty or beautiful earlier?
Beautiful. You never give me compliments.
Beautiful.
Oh, we don't have much time. Okay.
Sorry.
Gone.
And now we're back, and we now have Emily Thomas and Elaine Foster in the hot seat.
Hello.
Which is to read out a poem based on a prompt given earlier today. Tina, what was the prompt again?
7 days, 7 lines. Write a poem where each line is about each day of the week.
Okay, let's start with Emily Thomas.
Fine, I'll go first then. All right, so a regular week of a regular working adult in Malaysia. I burnt the toast today, spilt my milk, couldn't be bothered to make the bed. There you go, welcome to my world, and it's only Monday. Tuesday sneaks in. While my bloodshot eyes were screaming for some darkness, I'm starting to feel the evil manifest. The landlord banged on the front door while I crept out the back door. Oh, Wednesday, please soothe my nerves away at the local bar. Every hump day greeting I get, images of bunnies run through my head. Why? And Thursday came and left me with only a slice of bread. Thank God! Thank God! What are we so thankful for? For this day, I have to pray, put on some perfume, pretend to be happy, and all night through get drunk at the party. Whoa, where did Saturday go? I slept it all away. And now comes Sunday. Here we go again. Hip, hip, hooray.
All right. Thank you so much, Emily. What do you think about that, Tina? 0 to 10. Let's do a slam poetry now. Come on, 8. Judge. 8 out of 10.
I thought it was really clever. I'm very, very impressed by that poem. You should have gone last, because now they're going to have to end it. Now they're going to have to end with my trash.
Oh, gosh.
All right, it's your turn, Elaine.
I mean, obviously, having a week as a prompt, it's an idea of a cycle, yeah?
Yeah, of course.
Because I haven't quite finished it, I'm going to talk you through the process of what I was thinking. Process is important. We need to know I don't know what I wrote, but here we go. It's nonsense. Okay, I said Friday. Friday is a parking lot. Saturday is a Hajj, the faithful heading to a church of consumerism. Sunday is spent watching Netflix in quiet contemplation. Monday is the day that I study the good book of faces. Tuesday, I couldn't think of anything. It's such a nonsense day. Wednesday is for worship at the House of Wine and Beer. Thursday was supposed to be something about ladies' night, which I can't remember. And then Friday is a parking lot.
There you go. Thank you, Elaine Foster.
There's something clever about that. I wish it was finished.
I write? Yeah. 10 minutes.
Nobody says a writing prompt is supposed to be easy.
Yeah.
Yeah? I was never
if
easy.
If I had just been given a bit more time, you know, mm-hmm. It could have been like genius.
Don't worry. There will always be other opportunities because even though when Elaine is in the UK.
The UK, Elaine Foster.
We will still have a segment featuring her.
Yes.
In the next 11 months.
Yes.
Yeah, the following 11 months.
So it's probably going to be more like a recording of what's happening over there. I don't think it'll be a direct connect unless we decide
we'll
to do that.
We'll see how it goes, yeah.
But yes. And obviously, even though I'm away, you can still contact me through Poetry Cafe KL, Gmail, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And you'll either get me or Emily, because I think Emily's holding the fort while I'm away.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be good. So yes, we are already at the end of our segment or our session on poetry and the cabaret.
Woo-hoo.
It's been a fun ride. Thank you so much to Emily Thomas and Elaine Foster for joining us in this session.
Thanks for
today.
Having me. It's final day.
Yes. Now, if you have any comments or feedback, get in touch with us by email at thebiggerpicture@bfm.my or on Twitter at BFM Radio. You can always get us on Facebook, BFM The Bigger Picture. And for all things poetry, just search for Poetry Cafe KL on Facebook.
That's right.
If you missed any part of this interview, you can always download the podcast on the BFM app. I am your host, Sheena Bahardin. My producer is Tina Carmelia. Original music by Boy Tasik, a.k.a. Faris Firdaus. This has been Speak Easy on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.